Lutheran Radio presents Cross Encounters with Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Cross Encounters. I like to laugh, but I don't find most comedians very funny. In fact, there are only a handful of comedians I enjoy listening to. One of those select few was the late George Carlin. His brand of observational humor and wordplay often leave me doubled up with laughter. I'm challenged by his humor, as he regularly puts a social or political edge on it. The other night, while I was wasting some time surfing around YouTube, I ran into a George Carlin video on how we have dumbed down the English language so far that when we speak, most of our words mean nothing. We have depersonalized our language to take the life right out of it. The examples he gave include used cars are now previously owned motor vehicles. We no longer go to the doctor, we go to the healthcare professional. We are no longer fired, we're merely made redundant. MI5 and the CIA don't assassinate people, they merely neutralize them. Politicians no longer tell lies, they just manage the truth. We're no longer old, we're just 90 years young. Death is now passing away. Or if it happens in the hospital, it's a terminal outcome, so that the insurance companies can record it as a negative patient care result. At the conclusion of this very funny and provocative video came the opportunity to watch another Carlin clip entitled Religion Is... Well, if you know George Carlin, I guess you can fill in the blank. So I decided to watch it. It had nothing to do with religion, but it was a diatribe against Christianity. It was a series of complaints that many have lodged against Christians down throughout the ages. I can't see God, so how can I believe in Him? All preachers and denominations want is your money. Where is God with all the evil in the world? Prayer is presumptuous and a waste of time. In this clip, Carlin says that he really did try to believe in God, but in his monologue he gives some very telling reasons why he found it hard to come to terms with the Christian God. He quips that he would rather worship the sun in the sky, A, because he can see it, and B, because it doesn't tell him that he's unworthy. And as he caustically discusses prayer, he notes that God wasn't doing too well on that score either. In fact, he only ended up getting about half of what he prayed for. In fact, he thought if he prayed to Joe Pesci, his odds would be about the same. But I think this gives away Carlin's game and his God. Carlin wants nothing to do with a God who will pronounce him unworthy, or a God who won't grant him his wishes. If God does not cater to my whims and my needs, then there must not be a God. This is borne out by his closing bit. He wants to prove to the audience that there is no God. So he announces that if there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. Well, you can hear the gasps along with the laughter. He notes that no one died. So now he wants to raise the stakes, to up the ante. So he says, if there is a God, may he strike me dead. Did you catch it? It's easy to miss. But if you listen carefully to his monologue, he wants to raise the stakes by pronouncing a judgment of death upon himself. Carlin publicly, boldly, and unashamedly announces to his audience that he considers his life to be more valuable than all of their lives combined. It wasn't the fact that he regularly swears during this bit, or that he mocks the Christian faith that appalled me, but it was his absolute arrogance and the contempt that he demonstrated toward his audience that made me want to, as Carlin might put it, engage in an involuntary protein spill. It seems to me that the difference between the God George Carlin desires and the God that Christianity proclaims is pretty clear. Carlin's God is there for him to manipulate and use, to understand and control. A God who will allow him to place Carlin's wants, desires, and needs far above those of an audience who paid large amounts of money to watch him perform. His God would allow him to see his life as far more important and valuable than the lives of hundreds of other people. But Christ, proclaimed in the Bible, as noted by Carlin, is the one who pronounces us to be unworthy and to be sinful. But the good news is that Jesus, who had no reason to die for sinners other than his love for us, allowed himself to be crucified by a howling, laughing crowd of mockers. God, who freely offered his life as a ransom for all who despise, mock, and ridicule him. Jesus really did this for us unworthy sinners on the cross. On that cross, Jesus paid the price of our sin. The price was paid. The battle was won. And on Easter morning, life conquered death. Sorry, George. The God you offer us is, well, you can fill in the blank. But Jesus Christ, the God who loved us while we were still his enemies, is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you commanded the wind and the waves, and they obeyed you. So speak your peace to all who are troubled by fear and doubt. By the power of your word, calm their anxious hearts and the raging storms of doubt and fear in their spirit. For you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Amen.
Love is in the air.
Christ is in the air.
Lutheran Radio UK.